Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. You need to have a great relationship with your insurance agent. You want the kind that's going to find you the right insurance, the right price, the right updates. I don't care whether it's auto, home, life, business. They are the insurance experts. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Before we get to Nathan Davis, time for our play-by-play call of the day. The Titans rally and win at the wire.
Mariota looking. Firing to Murray at the three. Murray dives. Touchdown, Titans! DeMarco Murray made the catch. DeMarco Murray broke the plane. Three touchdowns on the day for DeMarco. And the Titans take the lead with 36 ticks to go.
That's Mike Keith with a call on 104.5 The Zone as Tennessee beat the Bengals 24-20. By the way, Thursday Night Football is the Steelers and the Tennessee Titans. We bring in Nathan Davis, head basketball coach at Bucknell. Coach, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Thanks, and thanks again for having me on. It's good to be here.
It's always a pleasure to have you on. It's two games in. It is a marathon. What kind of gauge do you have from watching the Monmouth game and the Arkansas game, and what is that giving you a gauge to work on?
Well, I think, like you said, it's early, and you play every game. You want to win them all. I feel like we can win every game we play, but it's also about trying to get better, and I think that it's shown us, both games have shown us things that we could have done better, and had a chance to win them both, to be honest with you. I feel like if we had played the way we did Sunday on Friday, we probably would have won, despite the difference being what it ended up being, I think, 28 again last night. But I thought we did a lot of things better, but we still got a lot of work to do. We've got to get better offensively and defensively and understanding situations, and that'll come, and hopefully we'll do better and have a chance to win down the stretch Wednesday night in North Carolina.
Nathan, it's one thing to sit there and practice and think about what your rotation might be. Games then, I think, help you make that determination. Is that still a work in progress as to how you want to bring guys off the bench, what situations, what combinations?
Oh, no doubt about it. We're still working on figuring that out. That typically takes some time every year to kind of figure out and where guys are most comfortable, how they fit together the best. And so that's a process that will keep going, I'm sure, well past Wednesday. But we're trying to figure out what combinations, like you said, work the best, how to get guys in and out of games so they stay fresh, and all that stuff, guarding, matching up personnel-wise, all that stuff goes into it. It takes some time.
You mentioned playing at North Carolina down at the Dean Dome coming up on Wednesday night. There's that old saying, great moments are born from great opportunity. Do you have a team that understands things like that because of the veterans you have?
I think so. I think they've been around it before. We've had ups and downs. We've gotten gotten beat pretty good before. Like last year, we go down to Butler and play really, really pretty poorly and get handled pretty well and turn around and find a way to beat Vanderbilt the next night. Not saying that necessarily is going to happen again, but I know that we're going to get a great effort tomorrow in practice. We're off today. We're going to watch a little film. We're going to get a great effort tomorrow in practice, and we'll be ready to go Wednesday night and see what happens. It's certainly a game that I feel like we've got a chance to win if we can shore some things up and do things right, but it's by no means going to be easy. We're going to have to play well, but if we do that, I like our chances with just about anybody.
Against a couple of these teams, is it difficult to control the tempo sometimes against some of these other teams who also want to dictate terms in a game?
I think both games, the tempo's really been has been fine with us. I don't think that's been the issue as much as things we can control, especially defensively, about we're out of position too much. We're reacting too late. We need to react on the pass so we're in position better. You can get away with that against some people, but the teams we're playing are good enough that when you're out of position, they're going to get to the rim and finish. and it's hard to help both ways. So we can do a better job of being in a position on the catch, whenever it is, so whether it's help or guarding the ball, we'll be much better off at that in the floor. And then offensively, there's a few shots that I haven't liked. There have been opportunities to kick it out where we haven't kicked it out, opportunities to throw it back in or reverse it. We've kind of settled at times, and if we can get those things straightened out, we'll be in good shape. I mean, we didn't like the way yesterday went, but we can't forget that at the end of the half, with about 4 minutes left, it was an 8-point game with the ball. And we had about 5 possessions in a row that didn't go very well to either end, and it got out of hand. I got to do some better things with timeouts to give our guys a chance to get out of that stuff. But it's, like I said, it's all right there for us. So it's as frustrated as our guys are at times and have been the last two games for the way it's gone, it's all right there for us. It's in our control, and we've got a great opportunity moving forward.
You have a point guard in Stephen Brown who has 15 assists in the opening two games to 5 turnovers. That's 3-1. Obviously, you're always going to want more out of him, but do you like the way he's facilitating?
I think he's done a lot of good things, and I think even he would say, like, that's great, 15-5. He could have been better, too. There's no doubt about it. Across the board, we can find things with the ball that we can be better at, and that's what it's about. It's about, obviously, winning games. We want to score more points than the other people when it's said and done, but we also got to get better and keep improving, and there's plenty of stuff right there, like you said, for us to get better at. I think if you look at some of his 5 turnovers, I can think of right off the hand 2 or 3 of them that were self-inflicted. So we want to eliminate those, obviously, and keep getting better.
Now you got a guy like Zach Thomas who's grabbed 26 boards in the opening two games. The oddity is Nana Filan has grabbed only 7. Is it just a case of Zach's been the one gobbling them up, or do you need Nana to be in a better position?
I think obviously you'd like him to get more than 7. He's got to do a better job of getting the offensive glass. He got a huge one at Monmouth late in the game to give us an and-one, and we need more of that. But some of it is he's going against some really big guys, and he's doing a good job of keeping them away and allowing other people to go get them, which is part of rebounding, too.
And he doesn't have a blocked shot yet this year either, but, you know, guys develop a reputation.
He does, but he got called for a foul on one.
Yeah, and you and I both know how that works. I both know it's clean, and it's like, no. I'll say it. You don't have to. You're tempted internally to say, have a feel for the game, please.
I said it. I don't want to get fined.
They're not going to find me. The Patriot League are going to find me over that. But some guys get a reputation because they are so good as shot blockers. So they try to come up with different things. Is he actually altering some shots just based on how he's playing?
Some, but not as many as I like. And I think, again, it's across the board, is that we're just a half step to a step out of position a lot. And so instead of getting over there to get some stuff clean or getting over there to force a lot of misses, guys are getting to the rim because, again, like you say, when you're playing good people, your margin for error is smaller. And a half a step or a step is going to get you out of position where you can't make the play. And as we continue to improve with that, I think that there'll be more shot blocks, there'll be more shots changed, all that stuff will come along, hopefully Wednesday.
Right, yeah, hopefully on Wednesday. When you look at North Carolina, the defending national champs, what is it about the current Roy Williams team where you look at it and say, okay, you know, I'm impressed by that, that, and that?
Well, I think for me personally, I just like the way they play. I really am always back to when he was at Kansas to now to Dean Smith at North Carolina. I just like the way they play. They play with pace. They put constant pressure on your defense because they push it up every time and try to and make you guard. And then the ball goes side to side. They go inside out. They have purpose. They screen and hit people. I mean, they're a very tough challenge to defend. And then I think they give tremendous effort on the defensive end. I think that they're out trying to deny. They're playing hard. They're physical. They've got good size. Now, they're younger, obviously, than they were a year ago. They've got some inexperienced guys inside, and Barry's been out. I'm sure he'll play Wednesday.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Suddenly, Barry just is going to appear.
that's kind of the way it goes. I'm sure they'll be fine at full strength and good. I mean, that's what you want. You want to go out there. When we schedule the game, we were expecting them to be fully healthy, and we'll go out there and compete against whoever they throw out there. But from a personal standpoint, I really enjoy their style of play. I think it's fun to watch, and they play the right way.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And it's something that you're seeing with like ultra successful teams, and you've had ultra successful teams along the way, is that you always find that they're the ones that play a little bit smarter than the other guy does. Your teams have done that, they do that. Yeah, I think it's pretty fair.
And I think, like I said earlier, I think when you play good people, your margin for error is just smaller. So you got to be more careful. You got to play smart. You got to play with purpose. And the team that can get the most quality possessions is going to be the one that wins.
Nathan, it's always a pleasure. Thanks so much. Good luck down in Chapel Hill on Wednesday night.
Thanks a lot. Look forward to talking to you next week.
I look forward to it as well. Thank you so much, Head Coach Nathan Davis. Bucknell joining us on the show today. Coming up, we'll open up the lines, get your thoughts on a few things. Another interesting weekend in the NFL. Two things I want to get into maybe that will, that people may want to comment on. Fox is coming in here. First time they've ever done a game in Beaver Stadium. Now, they've done two Penn State games this year, and of course they did the Big Ten Championship game last year. Do you like how Fox does a game as opposed to ESPN, or does it matter? I mean, each one has their own subtleties as to how they do it. Maybe it just doesn't matter to you. But do you like the way they do it opposed to ESPN, or do you prefer the way ESPN does a game? Now that you've seen it. And then the other one is, I watch the NFL, and you know, I've loved the NFL for years. And there's no doubt when you watch the NFL, and I see this over and over again, I am wowed by the great athletes playing the game, and I am wowed by the great speed with which they play it. I'll tell you what I'm not wowed by. I am not wowed by the intelligence level with which I watch the NFL played. I'll give you an example. Steelers and Colts game yesterday. Colts got called for a personal foul where the play's over. It's over. And this guy dive for Indianapolis, dives in there and dives on top of the pile. Gets called for 15 yards of the penalty. How many plays along the way do you sit back and say, wow, that was stupid? Cleveland. Now, I know you can do all the Cleveland Brown jokes that you want, but Cleveland's playing Detroit yesterday. Okay, there's 8 seconds, I think, left in the half. They are out of timeouts. And you say to yourself, the last thing Cleveland should do here is run the football, because, I mean, they were out at the 5-6 yard line. You're thinking to yourself, nah, they shouldn't have. Just take a shot at the end zone, at least get some points before the half, because they're in a close game. And what does Cleveland do? They run a quarterback draw. The half ends. Okay. I cite that game. I've cited this game a couple of times on the show. The opening night, Dallas and the Giants. Giants are down 16 points, two scores, and 2 two-point conversions, with about 245, 250 left in the game. The Giants started at their own 20-yard line. The Giants never gave up the ball, never gave it up, and ended the game at the Dallas 37, still down by 16 points. This is what they do for a living. They don't go to class. Why is it I feel like I'm watching a smarter brand of football and a more disciplined brand of football in college than I am in the pros? Why? The NFL game, I am so baffled over and over again by what I'm watching that doesn't make sense. Maybe you have a different thought. And if you're an Eagles fan at 8-1, you probably have a lot of, no, I think they're playing great. And the Eagles are playing great. They've got Dallas coming up on Sunday night. Merrill Reese joins us, by the way, on the show Thursday. We'll come back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There are a lot of places to get insurance coverage, but only one place in the Susquehanna Valley ready to put 4 generations of experience to work for you. Hi, I'm Adam Purdy. At Purdy Insurance, we take the time to talk with you and find the right coverage for your needs. Everyone's situation is unique, so our approach is to customize coverage to best protect you. Whether it's home, auto, or business insurance solutions you need, call, email, or stop in to see how our commitment to personal service can help protect what matters to you.
20 by the 20th. Sunbury Motors Hyundai needs to sell 20 Hyundais by November 20th to keep up with manufacturer demands. If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai. Save $5,000 on a 2017 Hyundai Elantra SE starting at $15,170. Buy a $24,820 Hyundai Sonata for only $19,370. Sunbury Motors Hyundai is discounting all Hyundais to levels never never seen before to reach their 20 Hyundai sold by November 20th. The nimble Hyundai Tucson is sacrificed by over $3,000 to an unbelievable 23,318. And the midsize Hyundai Santa Fe Sport has $46.99 knocked off. All new Hyundais come with America's best warranty.
10 years, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty.
Sunbury Motors Hyundai needs to be on your list for your next import vehicle. Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Elantra and Sonata listed were SMC loaner vehicles.
Great to have you with us today. You know, when I look at the NFL, the biggest plays of the game are pass interference calls. Now, maybe that's a gross generalization, but that seems to be the big play all the time. And I'm telling you, half of them I don't even agree with. Yeah, I'm really, I mean, let them play a little bit more. I mean, that's, I mean, I don't want people getting their head hit, dragged down, grabbed, whatever. But when the referee's getting more airtime than Tom Brady, I don't think that's good. I think they, that part of this is, and I'm watching the game last night with New England and Denver. Well, actually, I was watching the Steelers-Colts game again. Steelers-Colts game. A big play, pass interference call. Like, oh, for goodness sakes. I mean, Sean, you watch it all the time. Am I missing something here? Or?
It is frustrating. I mean, it just doesn't have, this doesn't have the drama, the intensity as college football has this year. I mean,
it's too mechanical. It's too mechanical. You know, everybody runs the same offense. Nobody tries anything different. And, you know, the biggest plays are always the pass interference plays. Those are the ones that actually move the ball downfield. And I feel like the officials are involved in every single play, every little ticky-tack thing. It's like, oh, for goodness sakes. I mean, I don't find it, like, I'm, you know, that we make fun of watching Iowa State and Oklahoma State. Yeah, you get a game like that, you know, and then you get a couple other games where, like, Stanford's playing Washington the other night, which was, you know, as long as I watched it, I thought that was a terrific game to watch. I just think the college game has just been a more entertaining and diverse game to watch. I mean, Penn State, you know, has gone from a couple of RPO passing type teams to then a running team. Now they're going to a predominantly passing team, and we don't know what the quarterback situation is, as Tanner Lee is still in concussion protocol. But you know, you see a different style all the time in the college game. You know, it's much. I mean, it's tough to be a defensive coordinator in the NFL because of the talent you're going against. But schematically, it's tougher to be a defensive coordinator in college because you have to game plan for several different styles of offense during the course of the season. You're in the ACC. You're going to face a predominant pass team one game, an RPO team the next. You're going to face Georgia Tech, which wants to run the ball over and over and over again. They're all different styles you have to get ready for. Now, talent-wise, it's not, you know, obviously the NFL, you know, as a defensive coordinator, you're getting ready for ultra-talented teams. But stylistically, you're not seeing anything different in the NFL. They all run the same stuff. They just do it with better players.
Sports Business Daily had a story this morning that the across the board yesterday, ratings down. The Fox 425 game last year compared to this year, down 18% yesterday.
But what was the game, though?
The game last year was Cowboys-Steelers.
Right, Cowboys-Steelers. So you're going to be down.
Yep.
Okay, you're talking about the two of the predominant national. So I'm trying to be fair here about this. I believe that they had the Redskins and the Vikings. Who'd they have? What was the 425 game?
Yesterday was Cowboys-Falcons.
Oh, that has, I mean, I'm sorry, Falcons versus the Steelers is just not going to happen. I'll tell you what's really down. You know what's down? Okay. Now, you know I don't watch pregame shows, so I could care less.
I watch less and less of those now, too.
I watched none of it. Zero. I haven't watched pregame shows for years. It turns out that Fox is actually up slightly over last year. CBS is down slightly over last year. NFL Network is up slightly, and ESPN is down 14.5%. You know, when I mean up slightly, I think one's up like 3-4%. When I say down, it's like one might be down 1%, 1.6%. ESPN's pregame show is down almost 15% over last year.
That is huge.
You know, I mean, part of that is to the credit of Tom Jackson and Chris Berman. I mean, for whatever you may say about each one of them, you know, when you've been around doing something for a long time, you know, you'll have your critics along the way. But maybe they were a lot more popular with the audience than maybe they were given credit for. So, interesting. They asked Brent Musburger about returning to broadcast TV, and he said, never say never.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by the great people at Purdy Insurance. Now, first of all, you know, I'm around the Purdy family and the Purdy office people, Steve Engel in the game, a few times a year. First of all, it's just really good people. Just really good people. I really like being around them. They're friends. And you know, they're also great professionals at what they do. Auto, home, life, business insurance. They just want the best for you. They want to make sure you're covered, and they want to make sure that it's within your budget. And if something happens, the customer means everything to them. They dive right in there, and they make sure that they go to work for you. And that's our good friends at Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Buzz in Northumberland. How are you today, Buzz?
Hi, guys. On my way home from work. And last Monday I was listening and I couldn't get through to you. And I regret being a week late with this. But you had had... Joe Susan on from Bucknell talking about the job of a coach, and he felt that the definition of a coach covered a lot of ground, but one of the things that a coach should do is take a young person, man or woman, from where they are and enable them to get where they should be or could be. You remember that conversation?
I do.
Okay, and then that same weekend, the coach at Penn State had charged off the field to get some of his young people who had neglected to shake hands and encourage them to go back on the field, which, you know, that kind of falls right in with what Joe Susan was saying. And my other remembrance of outstanding coaching was many years ago I was watching Arkansas when Lou Holtz was the coach. Do you remember when Lou Holtz coached Arkansas?
I sure do.
At the end of a game, the win hinged on a field goal, and Lou's young man missed it, and they lost the game. And Lou ran out onto the field and put his arm around this young man and walked him off the field. And I had heard dialogue later. What was said was to him was that it's not your fault that we lost this game. There were many points along the game that we could have won it. There were things we could have done. I know you missed. I know you feel bad. But this is a team effort. You did not lose this game. I was so impressed with that. That's the kind of coaching you like to see between the three of those people we just talked about.
Well, we've been very fortunate over the years at Penn State to have a lot of coaches like that along the way that have taught life lessons. You know, whether it's a guy like Cale Sanderson, or an Erica Dombach or a Russ Rose. Joe Paterno set that standard. So many former players will come up to me, Buzz, and they'll tell me that there are still things that Joe said to them decades ago that still ring in their ears today. Michael Robinson told me a great story that he went into a room, Seattle Seahawks, for a meeting, and the meeting was set for 4 o'clock, and he walked in at 3:45, because at Penn State, you're always 15 minutes early. And when he walked in, there was only one other person sitting in the room.
Wow.
Jordan Hill. Jordan Hill, Penn Stater. Right?
Yeah.
So you have the same person today in terms of standards, both academically and also with the same standard in terms of sportsmanship and the right guy that understands and gets it in James Franklin. Patrick Chambers is the same way. I'm around Patrick Chambers in basketball all the time. He is constantly teaching life lessons. I'm around James Franklin all the time. He is constantly teaching life lessons. Maybe in the middle of the drill, he'll see something, he'll point it out. It's the way something needs to be done, which is something that way that needs to be done in everyday life. And he'll do that all the time. I see James doing that constantly. So, look, game-winning field goal. These guys that lined up at, what, the 17-yard line. It's a 34-yard attempt. So they're right down by the locker room when the ball went through. Obviously disappointed, they just turned and started walking to the locker room.
Yeah.
James Franklin wanted to make sure they would lose with dignity, and they always want to make sure they win with dignity. And that's something that, as Penn Staters, you should be proud of the long lineage of coaches over decades and decades in a wide variety of sports who have done it the same way, and that it's being carried on by people who get it, like a James Franklin, a Cale Sanderson, a Russ Rose, an Erica Dombach, a Patrick Chambers, you know, James Franklin. I mean, that means something. It's, you know you're a part of a first-class organization that gets it, and in the toughest times, they seem to get it even more.
Well, it was really fortunate that the camera caught that, because we might not have known about it, but I was so impressed by it, and thinking how fortunate, you know, we are at Penn State to have a coach of that caliber. But how most of these young guys that were affected by that will remember that the rest of their life. That's just a lesson that hopefully you would never forget. So I just wanted to voice that from last week. So thanks.
Right. And just one quick note, Buzz, about Koa Farmer. It turns out that the camera was focused when James got Koa and brought Koa back.
Uh-huh.
Well, let me tell you in no uncertain terms, Koa Farmer is an outstanding young man. I really like Koa Farmer. I know you're not complaining, Buzz, but yeah. I want people to know that Koa is an outstanding young man, outstanding family. And it's just one of those moments of disappointment where you turn away, and he got a hold of James. He asked to meet with James on Sunday morning. He apologized, and because that's not who Koa is.
That's classy.
Yep.
That's classy. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, Buzz. Great comment.
Bye-bye.
And Buzz joining us on the phone. Terrific. But it's obviously losing's hard. Losing's hard. I've watched, celebrations are great. I've watched some teams over the years over-celebrate while the other team is standing there watching them do it. And I've watched moments where didn't want anything to do with it. You've watched moments of a lack of sportsmanship, like obviously 2014 with what Maryland did on the coin toss. Which disgusted a lot of people. And then you see moments on the other side, like you saw with James Franklin last week at Michigan State. That obviously was a very tough, tough game to lose. And you still have to win with dignity in class, and you have to take defeat with dignity in class. And then you go back to work and try to correct it. So, you know, I know, I think on the Fox News, I guess the 5, the TV show The 5, which follows our program, by the way, that they did an entire segment, I guess, on what James Franklin did. So, Tanner Lee, the quarterback for Nebraska, nobody knows. If the game were today, he would not be able to play. He's got, I guess he's in concussion protocol. It deals with the severity of migraines to go with everything. So it's much more than, you don't want to see this happen to anybody. Now, if he say he can't go, then Patrick O'Brien would be the guy that would step in and play for him. So, I mean, I'm not even, you know, we'll just see how it plays out during the week. I you know, I'm sure he has a coach's show later in the week where I'm sure he's asked about it. As of today, they won't rule him in or out of the game. And it's, they're, what, 4-6 right now? 4-6. See, probably the problem with Nebraska is that early on, they won back-to-back games. I think they won their first two games in the Big Ten. And they were telling people, hey, look, we're back. And like, and you looked at it and said, well, it's Illinois and Purdue. I'm not so sure how far back you are. Now let's see how you do against Wisconsin. And Wisconsin beat them with relative ease. Hi, Doug. How are you today? Doug in Wellsboro joins the show. Big Sean Carey fan. He only tolerates me.
Hey, Steve, how are you?
Good, Doug. How are you today? I could have fun at my own expense.
Well, everyone else does.
And look at Doug out there, 98 on the fastball and the slow gun.
Doug knows. He knows.
I know the inside story, Steve, so don't worry about it.
Then you tell me what it is. I'm waiting for somebody to tell me.
All right. I'm here to beat a dead horse, the offensive line. I watched out from the end zone on Saturday.
Yeah.
What can they do? Is there any other options? Boy. What can they do? I mean, when they tried to run that, there was no movement. There was no gaps. There was nothing for him to run.
Yeah.
I mean, the stuff from McSorley worked because, yeah, they were there keying on Barkley, and he pulled that down the goal line and ran in from 15 yards out. But there was just nothing. There's no movement. There's no creases. Nothing.
This is going to sound really stupid, but I'm going to say it anyway because I excel at this kind of answer. But you flat out need to block it better. I mean, you know, schematically, there really isn't a lot you can do because this is the scheme that you run. But no matter what scheme you're running, you have to do exactly what you said, Doug. You got to put a hat in a hat. So they flat out need to block it better. And not only that, that means everybody block it better, not just the linemen, but tight ends and so forth need to block it better. And it's amazing with Barkley. In all the years I've done this, Doug, I've never seen a Penn State player more targeted by an opposing team, more determined by opposing teams to make sure he does nothing. I mean, there'll be times where he'll get hit by 2-3 guys in the backfield, and he doesn't have the ball. And that's because Penn State faked it to him. So, I mean, you're fair game to be hit when it's faked to you. And so Penn State's having offensive success because of the dominoes that they're getting. Because Barkley attracts so much attention, they've gone other places. And the bottom line is you have to block it better because schematically, I don't think that, you know, especially now, you're not going to sit there and change the scheme by what you're doing. I think you just have to execute it better. And you know me, I'm a strong believer in execution, and there are a lot of fans out there that are strong believers in my execution.
I concur.
I mean, Doug's sitting in Wellsboro going, dilly dilly.
That was a fast response there.
Hey, I know you remember this, but like in the 89 Holiday Bowl back then,
yeah.
Do you remember?
Yeah.
I mean, those guys moved forward at the snap. Blair ran over those guys.
Right.
It wasn't so much just take your guy and run with them to one side. Ron Heller, those guys are only like 270, 280. Are they too heavy? Everybody's 300 pounds nowadays. Are they too heavy? I mean, Chael's right. He's 300 pounds, but I know he's hurt, but he can't move.
Well, I mean, everything's relative, Doug, because remember, those 270, 280 offensive linemen were going up against 260 to 280 defensive linemen. So everything's relative. I think what you're seeing is that, you know, you're talking about the 89 Holiday Bowl, and Blair Thomas had a great game. That was also a veteran offensive line. When I look at Penn State's offensive line, the first thing I'm seeing is that even though guys have played, it's still young. Because James Franklin is only going into his... Now, remember, he's going into only his third cycle with 85 scholarships. So he's only had two recruiting cycles with 85 scholarships so far, where it gives you more options in terms of recruiting positions. And you notice they've thrown a lot of collateral the last 2 years into recruiting linemen on both sides of the ball. So you got Will Fries, who's a redshirt freshman, whom I think is going to be pretty good, Doug. Someday he's going to be... I think Will Fries is getting a little bit better every week. So he's going to be good. McGovern's a sophomore. Had to switch positions. He's doing some good things for them right now. Gonzalez is a redshirt sophomore. And then, of course, you mentioned Chaz right now stepping back into that spot. And, of course, Mann's a senior. You don't quite have the depth that you have at that spot, especially, you know, because Nelson really hasn't been able to give them anything. And Bates, who would have played regardless of age, Bates would have played. All right? But... because I think he's just that good, Doug. But that's the problem that you have, is I think youth is still part of what's going on. The recruiting cycle is still part of what's going on. Because I think Des Holmes and C.J. Thorpe can be weaned into the lineup next year in spots. And so can Michael Mennett, which I think will be a big help in terms of developing long-term solutions in the offensive line. They still don't have long-term solutions in the offensive line with depth yet.
All right. I'm trusting you on this one. I have to trust you on this.
Well, I mean, you know, again, most of the really good offensive lines that Penn State's had over the years usually have been pretty experienced. That's a pretty fair statement, right?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, Sean Farrell, all those guys, Greg Huntington, when they were good, they were upperclassmen and stuff. And you're right about the sanctions. This is the last part of the holdover. I mean, you recruit 10 guys, 7 guys, you hope that 2 of them pan out and play as seniors.
Right. That's a good point. That's a good point, yeah.
Sterling Jenkins really has never really panned out. And that's the fact. I mean, there's no disrespect to the kid, but that's just the way it is. So.
No, you're not making an inaccurate statement. No, and you're not being cruel either. So it's, I mean, you're spot on. I think the interesting part about what Penn State went through is that the two hardest hit areas were the offensive line. Well, the three were special teams, offensive line, and linebacker. Special teams has been solved. Offensive line is still a work in progress. I think linebacker is still a work in progress.
No, you're right about that. That's true also. There's not a lot of depth there.
I mean, because you're looking at me, Brandon Smith stepped in the other day, but he's a senior too.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, I don't want to take up too much of your time. So you're still the best in the business, Steve.
See, Doug's actually, people don't realize that despite all the barbs back and forth, Doug's actually my agent.
Dilly-dilly.
Yeah, dilly-dilly.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Doug.
15%, dilly-dilly.
Doug mentioned something about taking me over to some place called the Pit of Misery. I don't know what that means. We'll come back, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. He suits motivational music as he drives over to broadcast the game. Unbeknownst to him, we put a camera in the car. wasn't pretty. But it's going to be a laugh a minute December 13th.
Yeah, that'll make the Christmas party, not TMZ.
I think I'm going to go.
I love it.
I think I'm going to go. I mean, I have to do the show there, of course. But
even better.
I mean, this is going to disappoint Jamie tremendously because she's worked for years to make sure I don't go. She's going to be bummed out.
That's why I stepped in this year. It's like, no Thursday this year.
Meanwhile, the I guess the suit's putting together a counter party. over at Maddie's now. now that he knows how to get there.
I've checked the Shikellamy basketball schedule. I don't know if they're playing that night or not. I have to check.
Well, then, if they are, we had to go over and crash the party. Oh. All right. Let's see. Coming up tomorrow, Bill Bender's Sporting News and Audrey Snyder. Merrill Reese joins the party on Thursday to talk about those great Philadelphia Eagles. I don't mean good, I mean great. Have they been the wow of the year? In a league that doesn't have a lot going for it, they've been terrific. All right. Great to have you with us today. Our thanks to Nathan Davis and Joe Susan. A lot of Bucknell talk today, which we enjoyed thoroughly, and your calls, which I really enjoyed.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.